and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Wellgate Wellness. This show is dedicated to informing our community about topics that can improve the quality of their lives. I am Rich Novelli, president of Wellgate Sports Club. And this morning we are privileged to have with us Jamie Hanna. Jamie has been involved in the health and fitness industry for over 30 years. She is a certified personal trainer, fitness instructor, certified fitness nutrition specialist, and certified functional aging specialist. She holds a BS degree in health, physical education, leadership, and she has a minor in psychology. So Jamie helps people by teaching them about lifestyle choices as they relate to health in mind, body, and spirit. Jamie, welcome and good morning.
Thank you, Rich. I'm honored to be here.
So this morning we are going to talk about behavioral change. If any of you have been listening to the show the last few months, you know that we really want to dive deep into, you know, kind of what helps people live a better quality of life. And behavioral change and making that commitment to change is a big important step, no matter what type of change you're looking at doing. Of course, we focus mainly on wellness initiatives, but it really, as we'll cover a little bit more today, behavioral change impacts any kind of change that you want to make in your life. So we all know consciously when changes need to be made to our lifestyle, but what gets us off the couch, or more importantly, committed to make a change, is really what we're going to talk about today. So, Jamie, maybe I can ask you to start this morning by telling us a little bit more about yourself and how you got interested in this career.
Absolutely. My love of fitness started, as you said, 30 years ago. I was at the ripe old age of 23. I had two small children. I had gained weight. I was out of shape. And I started taking aerobics classes. And I loved it so much that I became a fitness instructor. And that decision really changed my life because my love of fitness was born. And more importantly, I discovered my life's purpose, which is to help people, help them lose weight and get back into shape. And then really that passion grew over time and it evolved to teaching people about making healthy lifestyle choices and helping to improve the quality of their lives. And really there's just no other compliment than when people come up to me and say, you inspired me, you helped me lose weight, you helped me get into shape, and most importantly, you helped me to get rid of some of the pain that I was suffering, whether it was mental, physical, spiritual. And so really, over 30 years of doing this, I have seen many things come and go, many trends come and go. And in my opinion, the greatest trend has been this holistic approach to fitness, where, you know, we don't want to just teach a bicep curl. We don't want to just teach the perfect, you know, kinesiology of a bicep curl. We want to teach them about what are their behaviors at home. What happens, you know, they're with us 1 hour a day. What happens the other 23 hours? How are they dealing with stress? How are they dealing with life? So
when you talk about a holistic approach for our listeners, we're really talking about a comprehensive view of health and wellness, not just about fitness per se,
exactly,
or diet per se, but really how you are improving the quality of your life as a total person, mind, body, and spirit. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yes.
Great.
I couldn't have said it better.
So to start things off, maybe, you know, since we're going to talk today mainly about behavioral change and how to make really that stick for whatever change you want to make in your life, maybe you can help us, Jamie, start off by defining what is behavioral change.
Yes, behavior change is the transformation or modification of human behavior. And in my business, as it relates to public health, it is the increased focus on prevention prior to the onset of disease.
Okay, so you're really talking about changing habits, and you're really talking about doing this in a way that is conscious and proactive. So why is understanding the fundamentals of, you know, behavioral change important to our listeners? I mean, how does that play into this holistic, comprehensive approach?
Oh, great question. It is important because right now, 117 million adults have one or more chronic health conditions. And most of these health conditions, not all of them, but most of them are directly related to stress. And we have become so accustomed and so used to being in stress that a lot of times we don't even realize that we're under stress. And so it's important to start to identify what is making us stress, how we are dealing with that stress, and how we can try to proactively be our own health advocate and really try to adopt some healthy habits, or at least one healthy habit at a time, and drop those behaviors that are not serving us any longer.
So there's not necessarily one fix-all for everybody.
No.
You really have to understand that individual and what they're looking to do. As we talk a lot about it on this show, we talk about, you know, what's your why? Why
exactly.
Are you doing this? Why do you want to make these changes? So really understanding that, would it be fair to say, is really at the base of what you need to do to initiate behavioral change?
Yes, absolutely. And if I could just use... You know, because I'm in health and fitness, if I could just use dieting as an example, because as you mentioned earlier, there are many bad behaviors, smoking and things that don't serve us and that can actually work against us. But as it relates to diet specifically, there are right now 108 million Americans, or 54% of adults, on a diet at any given time. And we are spending 65 billion years on weight loss products.
Billion dollars, right?
And $65 billion.
And that's not even taking into account exercise products, machines, anything on the exercise side. You're just
exactly.
talking about diet
I'm
products, right?
I'm just talking about diet.
Right.
So, but we are fatter than ever. So why is this not working? Why? It's because usually diets offer a quick fix with no lasting results. You have a reunion, you have that wedding coming up, you're going to lose that 10 or 20 pounds, and you go on this diet, and it does work for those few weeks, and then you lose the weight, and then what happens right after the reunion or the wedding is over? You usually go back to your old habits because you feel deprived of whatever it was that you were overeating or overdrinking, and so you just naturally fall back into your old habits and without making lifestyle
right.
changes, and
right.
that's where it really makes the difference. And again, with regard to diet, there's a New York Times blogger, and her name is Tara Parker Pope, and she said on her struggles with weight, "I get tired of people who say, it's simple, just eat less and move more." And then she goes on to say, "We don't do dieters any favors by telling them that it's going to be easy and simple, because really it's not. The key is to make small changes, but you have to really make the change. You can't just talk about it. You have to actually do it."
And so a lot of this seems to me to be about programming, you know, how our minds are programmed to get into these ruts, if you will, or these habits, good, bad or indifferent. And behavioral change really focuses on how can we get people out of those ruts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's again, it's what do you want to focus on? What's your why mm-hmm. to focus on? Because as you said, a lot of these quick fixes that are out there, the human body is an amazing machine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about people that are, you know, morbidly obese, that weigh 300, 400 pounds, that the body still functions. And that's amazing to me to think about a human body that maybe was initially designed to carry half or a third of that weight still functions.
Mm-hmm.
And how the body responds to even minor modifications in, you know, bad habits, to your point, is amazing. And unfortunately, a lot of these diet programs really feed off of, pardon the pun, this quick fix mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a pill, give me a box, give me something to put in my mouth, and we're good to go. But it's really the long-term, you know, programming that we want to change. And behavioral changes are really what are going to help us get to that long-lasting solution.
That's what works.
Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely.
Okay. Real quickly, before we go to break, maybe you could help us define, there are, you know, five stages of change.
Absolutely.
That we're going to talk about. Maybe you can just list those for us, and then we can dive into those a little bit more when we get back.
Sure. So the five stages, pardon me, The five stages of change, the trans-theoretical model, are one, pre-contemplation, and that is where somebody else tells you you need to lose weight, like your doctor, and you don't believe that you need to. Two is contemplation, where you know a change is needed and you're going to take action in the next 6 months, but you're not ready to commit. Three is preparatory, making plans to start within the next month. And the fourth stage is actual action, where you make the changes, but you don't even get to count it unless you've made the changes for 6 months. And then the fifth stage is maintenance, where after 6 months, you have continued to make that change.
That's interesting. There's a lot there that I want to talk about and cover. So when we get back, we're going to dig into those stages of change and talk about how this whole behavioral change theory came about. This is Rich Novelli. You're listening to Wellgate Wellness, and we will be back after these short messages. All right, welcome back.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community, the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, grocery, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, $2.99 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Wellgate Wellness, and we will be back after these short messages. All right, welcome back. This is Wellgate Wellness, and again, we're talking today with Jamie Hanna about behavioral change. And where we left off was really Jamie starting to describe the five stages of change. And this behavioral change model was really initially designed by a gentleman by the name of Dr. James Prochaska out of the University of Rhode Island in the early 80s, actually late 70s, early 80s. And for our listeners, if you wanted to learn more about this specific model, which, again, is very widely used and accepted, you can get his book called Changing for Good. It's not a bad read. It's not very technical, but it will fill in a lot of the details of what we are talking about here today. So, Jamie, where we left off was on these five steps, and really I wanted to ask you how important education is within these five stages. I mean, I'm looking at pre-contemplation, which is basically, you know, my doctor telling me I need to do this, but I really don't believe it or understand it. Mm-hmm. Contemplation, where, you know, change is needed, but I'm really not ready to commit. And that's more of a conscious thing, saying, okay, I recognize I need to make a change, but again, I don't know necessarily what to do. And then step three, which is preparatory, which is actually making the plans. It would seem to me that all three of those have a pretty strong educational component, where if people are educated, can learn about their specific change that they want to make, they are empowered to better empowered to prepare to make that change. Is that a fair statement?
That is a fair statement, and in a perfect world, that we would all read and we would learn and then we would change because we would have the education,
right?
And we would just change. But unfortunately, in the reality of life, you're right. I want to say that education is absolutely crucial and important, and we need to know the why. We need to know why we do the things we do. However, knowing that and actually doing it are two different things. So first we need the education, and then the second component is tools. We need the tools with which to change. So as far as I like to call us health advocates, personal trainers, fitness trainers, doctors, nurses, nutritionists, we all, anyone who's involved in healthcare and trying to help others, we all will just really, really benefit from having the knowledge so that we can help others. And then the people that want to change, having the knowledge, of course, is imperative. Then the next key is the how. We have the why. Now we need the how. How do we change, you know? So education and knowing all of these things doesn't necessarily make you change. It is not, you don't make a change until the pain of not changing outweighs the pain of the change, because change is hard. And we've all heard the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's like we're that rat going around and around and around in that cage, and we just can't fling ourselves off of that treadmill to make that change until the pain is greater.
I mean, I think we all know people that have gone on crash diets or made their New Year's resolution for fitness or sworn off cigarettes or alcohol or other things, and yet they find themselves, you know, short term having this great resolve and then, you know, falling off the tracks, as you said before.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, understanding kind of why you do that, I guess, is important. But you're saying that's more emotional, or are you saying that people, you know, how do you get off of that treadmill?
Okay, so yes, it's emotional, definitely. And if anybody is familiar with neuroscience, we can talk about the conscious and the subconscious. And the subconscious, in other words, the habits that we have that are our unconscious habits that we don't even think about, will derail us more times than not. And so what will happen is, well, let me just start by saying what I do, the way that I try to help people, is I use motivational interviewing, and I ask open-ended questions, and I try to get the person thinking about their habits. And just getting them to think about it adds a teeny bit of pain when they go ahead and go, let's just say, blow it that night.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell you how many people tell me that they stress and then they eat a half gallon of ice cream by themselves, the whole thing. They know it's wrong when they're doing it, but what I have to do is dig down to the nuts and bolts of why. Why did you go grab that half gallon of ice cream? And what I find is the person just had a fight with their spouse, or somebody pulled out in front of them, or they just got a bill. And so really, again, like I said earlier, this is all about stress. We need to define what the triggers are and look at the way we react to stress. And then as a health advocate, we need to help them become part of the solution and say, what can we do? What can be your action that you're going to take? You know, how are you going to deal with this next time? You mm-hmm. need to have a plan in place so that next time something like this happens, you can call a friend, or you can at least think, what would Jamie say if she found out I was going to eat this whole half gallon of ice cream? Because unfortunately, eating the ice cream is a short-term pleasure, and the long-term effects of that are, not only is it bad for your body, but it's bad for your spirit, because then most people beat themselves up 10 minutes later.
But what if it's like really good mint chocolate chip?
Then I say go for it.
Okay. And I haven't had you there to call to say, okay, should I have this half gallon, or would you like to come over and have a full gallon of mint chocolate chip, you know, with me?
Well, and or peanut butter chocolate. I mean, okay. None of us is perfect, and I've been there too. But the key is, and where I really am starting to see more and more success with my clients is, I get them thinking. Just get them thinking about it. Why did I do this? Okay, what triggered this? And what is going to be my plan for if it happens again? And even if they do it again, it's okay. Just don't beat yourself up. Get back on track and just think about it. Start to add a different habit, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
At least you're pausing, maybe. You're mm-hmm. pausing mm-hmm. for a second before you do it.
That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So these five stages, this behavioral change obviously transcends exercise and diet, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, again, we're talking about all types of, you know, quote, tougher or difficult habits that you might mm-hmm. be trying to break. So this is not just, I know this is a wellness program, but this is not just about fitness and diet. So, I mean, it applies to smoking, alcohol, drugs, medical compliance. I mean, you've got a medical condition. Sometimes we just fight that tooth and nail for some unknown reason about being medically compliant with our doctor's wishes. Stress management, as you've been talking mm-hmm. about. So this really is a good program for people to start to build some conscious awareness of how do I use these stages of change and what do I do in order to kind of get off that treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you have some opinions about building a support system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk about that and maybe even delve into how coaches impact, you know, behavioral change as well.
Definitely, definitely. You know, having a support system is crucial because we really can't do anything by ourselves. We need support of others, and we need to go in with a really, really positive mindset. And if you're down and if you've alienated yourself from others, it's going to be really hard to get out of that mindset. And so I'm a huge advocate of therapy. I think that we all need a tune-up, not only physically, but mentally and spiritually. And a therapist can help immensely. And if you cannot afford a therapist, then you can research. But even if you have all the resources in the world, it is just crucial to have your posse, to have those people that you trust, to have the people on your side.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that person is your personal trainer, or it might be your dental hygienist. You know, you sit there for an hour. It might be your hairdresser. It could be a number of people. But it's important that you don't just go and kind of, you know, barf all that out onto them. It's important that you share with people that you trust that can give you some really decent feedback on helping you to change some behaviors. And with regard to my job as a personal trainer and health coach and for all health advocates, like I say, we dig deep into the nuts and bolts to figure out why you're doing this. And then we ask you, what can you do to make your life different? What do you think you could do? How could you not eat that half gallon of ice cream? Would it be not buying it in the first place? Would it be, asking... calling your best friend before you dish it up? And, do you know that a true serving of ice cream is a half a cup? And that's 100 calories.
Right.
Can you imagine how
we don't want to, we don't want to hear that. No.
So my job as a trainer, is to really teach people and help them to hold that mirror up for them and show them where they can go, help them to believe in themselves and show them this is where you can go. This is where you're going to go. If mm-hmm. you just believe in yourself, have to teach people to really love themselves and believe in themselves. And then also show them, you know, the flip side to that too, that the consequences of their actions are going to be bring more pain. And you know, I love this quote by Confucius. He says, "Tell me and I will forget. Show me and I may remember, but involve me and I will understand." So it takes like any new thing that you learn, any new habit, anything that you learn, you do it over and over, repetition.
Mm-hmm.
When you blow it, you don't beat yourself up. You get right back into it. And you rely on your resources big time, and you continue to fight the good fight and think positive thoughts about the whole thing.
I think that's really interesting. We find that as people talk to us about, well, how do I start an exercise or a diet program? A lot of people say, well, I can just do this at home. I can do it on my own. And I think, you know, personally, people underestimate the power of social involvement, that you are surrounded by people with like goals, surrounded by people that you can share your struggles with as well as your successes with. And you know, obviously to be a bit self-serving, you know, at Wellgate Sports Club, we've tried to create this culture where the social, the mind, body, spirit, the community is as important as the equipment and the programs. And to be surrounded by experts like yourself is very important to kind of keep that whole keep people on track. So, all right, well, we're going to continue with this when we return. You're listening to Wellgate Wellness. This is Rich Novelli, and we'll be back after a few messages.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Happy New Year's. Kathy says we got more heaters coming in, and Johnny's been doing a lot of estimates and installs every day. So if you're tired of being cold, give us a call. Toyo Tommy kerosene heaters and on-demand hot water heaters. We also have a few used heaters for sale with great warranties. Danny's got the delivery trucks working every day, so check your tanks and give us a call. Northern Lights Energy. If you're tired of talking to answering machines and never getting your deliveries on time, give us a call. We don't have a salesman. We just have a lot of warm, happy customers. In Corning, see Robin. In Weaverville, see Joe. In Redding, see Cody. He's the propane king. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
So, Brenda, guess what?
Oh, what now?
Boomer Tech Radio is changing a little bit again.
Oh, my gosh. Just like keeping up with technology. Can't keep up with Boomer Tech Radio.
Right now, every Saturday from noon until 2 o'clock, you can listen to Boomer Tech Radio for 2 hours back-to-back right here on KCNR 1460. And we are brought to you every week by
Advanced Automotive.
Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So listen every Saturday for Boomer Tech Radio, noon to 2, right here on KCNR 1460.
That'll help you keep up with technology.
We are back. This is Wellgate Wellness. I'm Rich Novelli, and we're here with Jamie Hanna. And, Jamie, we were talking about the importance of social support. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we wanted to get to is I know you've got somebody that you've been working with, a gentleman by the name of Steve Beck, who has been gracious enough to join us today. Mm-hmm. Hi, Steve. Are you there?
Yeah, Rich. How you doing?
Good. Fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time. Jamie has shared with me a little bit about your story, but we are talking about behavioral change and the importance of that and what you've been able to accomplish. And so, Jamie, maybe you can tell us a little bit about Steve and what you have done together with him.
Absolutely. Steve's wife, Marge Beck, actually bought him a Father's Day present, which was 2 workout sessions with me, and we ended up learning... We ended up working with Steve on a couple of things, not just physical fitness, but diet and the reduction of sugar in his diet. And Steve, why don't you tell everybody how that worked out for you?
Oh, the sugar. Hi, Jamie. The sugar thing worked out really well. I started doing some research on that and found out there's a sugar monster that lives in my stomach and it's craving sugar all the time. And by eliminating the sugar, the sugar monster shrinks down and doesn't have so much effect. And found by not eating so much sugar, my brain is sharper and I have more energy and life's a whole lot better and there's less weight.
And how did you do that? What behaviors did you have to change to actually make that happen aside from just doing the research and grabbing onto all that knowledge?
Well, I had to stop eating all the fun things like ice cream and cake and candy, all the good desserts, and let's cut down on starches also, which helped greatly. And I remember you having lunch with you one day, and you were eating a sandwich. We both got sandwiches, and I noticed you took a couple little tiny bites and then wrapped the sandwich back up, and you were going to eat it again later for dinner. And I thought, wow, portion control. What a great idea. it lots of little triggers. And then just conversations with you about things and, you know, watching you do it. Yeah, that was helpful. Mm-hmm. But when I actually did it, it was much more helpful because I realized, hey, you know what? 6-ounce steak is just as good as a 12-ounce steak, except doesn't have as much of a debilitating effect later on,
right,
where you feel so stuffed.
Right. Steve, what was there something specifically that really kind of helped you to start making these changes? I mean, it sounds like you did, working with Jamie, got educated about a lot of the detrimental effects of sugar and carbohydrates, or certainly simple carbohydrates. But was there something that really kind of got you on track? Because I understand you've actually lost quite a bit of weight. Maybe you could share that if you're comfortable with us, how successful
sure,
you
yeah.
were.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, it's just forcing control, cutting out sugar. And now I got to tell, there was some backsliding there, too. We had Thanksgiving and Christmas
right.
and New Year's, which caused some backsliding, which I've had to readjust. Remind myself. But the one thing I did notice when I was having those eating orgies during those
eating orgies.
Holidays that are inevitable, and you're trying to tone them down. But I noticed afterwards my brain was fuzzier. Mm. And so, I mean, you really notice it because it was kind of a new development that it got clear. And so when it fuzzed up, it wasn't like a gradual thing. It was like, whoa, there's a big change there. Let's go back to what we were doing. And a lot of protein. I don't know if that's I think they called that the Atkins a long time ago, and now it's paleo or whatever. But
mm-hmm.
basically, eating the protein and salad.
Can I interrupt you really quickly?
You can interrupt me anytime.
You have sidestepped the question twice now. How much weight have you lost?
Oh, I didn't know you wanted a number.
We do want numbers.
Okay. 33 plus 8 going the other way. So that's 33 minus 8. Those holidays were destructive.
That's okay, Steve.
So we have a net 25, but then in the last week, as I've come back into my my renaissance period, lost another 3, so 4. Okay. And so it's all going good. It's a basic, it's an educational thing. You got to educate yourself on the outer level. You know, I know it. I know it's true, but you got to start believe. You got to believe it too.
Mm-hmm.
And as I did the backsliding, it made me believe it even more.
Great.
And plus, your inspiration. Jamie's just like the great inspirator because inspiration person. And as I lost the weight, she was just glowing. Oh, that's so good. And that really helps. It helps to have support.
Yeah.
And my wife's supportive. Jamie's supportive. And people go, is that you? And that's really supportive.
It almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, Steve, when you get that, you make some gains, you get that support. And we keep talking about this social network, the support of your family and, you know, outside experts that, you know, all of a sudden you're starting to see these results. And you retrain your brain to, mm-hmm. you know, feed off of that positive. Jamie mentioned a bit about people getting to the point with whatever habit they're trying to change that the pain becomes, you know, too great, and that's really the motivating factor. Was that the case for you where you just kind of got fed up, or was it something else that got you really kind of on track here?
Whoa, my first getting on track, the first inspiration of, or recent inspiration, was when Jamie came to speak in my classroom last spring, actually. And it was dynamite, very effective, and all the sacrifices she made for herself and all the strides that she made going forward in her own life. It's like, wow, you can do all this. I can definitely step forward and do what I need to do for my own health.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great, I don't know, it's just like an inspiration that just, wow, here she is doing all this stuff. I can do this little thing. And the results are where I just feel so much better about myself. Health-wise, and just about, you know what, I can always make these positive strides.
And I remember, Steve, you pardon me, but you also said it's like you're not carrying around this 30-pound pack all the time, and you just felt so much lighter.
Well, actually, I have a rucksack.
Too.
I have a rucksack.
Yeah.
To remind me of that, actually. When I was in the Marines, we, you know, carried the rucksack around
right.
all the time. And, putting that on, like, whoa, that's heavy. and that's what I had divested myself of. And so it's a great reminder. Plus, it helps me to stand up straight, too.
Yeah, good point.
When you're walking up hills, you got that rucksack on, you're leaning back.
But it's absolutely true. You don't realize just how much that you're carrying around. We were talking about at the beginning of the show how amazing the human body is and how it will adapt to almost anything. Unfortunately, you end up paying the price later on in your life with quality of life and morbidity and medical conditions. And so to be able to recognize this through behavioral change and making the changes that you have obviously has worked wonders for you. So, Steve, I know you've got class. We're gonna let you go. We really appreciate you taking the time today and to talk to us. And hope you have continued success on your journey. And we wish you the best of luck.
Well, thank you very much, Rich, and thanks for doing this show. This is a great show, and for having Jamie on as a guest, because she's been a great inspiration for me, and I know for other people too, because I've had other people come up and talk to me about her.
Thank you.
She's back in town. I can't wait to make contact again. This
okay.
is no baloney.
All right, that's enough.
No, she's the best. She's the best.
One of my fellow teachers actually goes, you know Jamie? And so this is great. I mean, seriously, you are an inspiration.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, Steve. Thanks so much. You have a great day.
Again.
Take care.
You too. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye.
All right. Somebody that really
fan.
Clearly, well, I mean, you bring that on for people, so that's fantastic. So I think Steve covered a lot of what, you know, we were talking about in terms of this social network. He talked about his wife. He talked about you. And, again, I think that that's really an important aspect of getting involved in any of these steps on the behavioral change chain is having that. And I don't know. Did you want to add anything to that?
The thing that just kept coming to mind when he was speaking, the way he talks right now, he's got so much more life in his voice. And he's always been a positive, great person, but I can hear it in him. And the quality of life is enhanced so much when you finally make that choice to do something for yourself and to really love yourself and believe in yourself. That is huge. That is huge. And, you know, there is this thing called locus of control. And it is, we have intrinsic and extrinsic locus of control. And it is the extent to which individuals believe that they control the events affecting them. Okay, so internal locus of control means that you believe you control your life. External means you believe that your decisions in life are controlled by the environment or other people and that the factors cannot be influenced. Mm-hmm. And so we really need to have strong internal locus of control, and we need to believe in ourselves. And that sounds, you know, so simple, but it's really hard when people are stressed.
Right.
When people are stressed and they've got all these, you know, in this crazy world of ours, and you're being pulled in so many different directions, it is no wonder that your subconscious bad behaviors, you know, they take over to kind of help you to forget about everything and not have to deal with it and put it behind, you know, put it, you know, in the back of your mind where you don't deal with it. And unfortunately, that manifests into so many different things mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and it affects your relationships. It affects your quality of life. And that's really the key, quality of life.
It continues to amaze me just how much we as human animals allow ourselves to not be at our optimal.
Mm-hmm.
That we just adapt to a poor quality of life. You know, I can't help hearing Steve talk about how fuzzy he was and getting off sugar, what that really did for him. And again, I don't want this to be about just fitness and nutrition, but really, as human animals, it is amazing to me just how much we will put up with just to get through the day and not realize how good it feels to be thinking clearly and to have energy and to have focus and to be able to live life in a positive way. I mean, you can hear it in his voice, certainly, in the work that you've done with him.
Mm-hmm.
But it is something that I think most of us don't consciously think about. All right. Well, we've got one more segment to go here, and this has been great so far. We've got a lot more to talk about. So stick with us, if you will. This is Wellgate Wellness. I'm Rich Novelli, and we will be back after a few messages.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
Looking for a perfect Valentine's Day weekend? Look no further than Wind River Resort and Casino. Enjoy a delectable meal for you and your loved one that includes steak and lobster, chocolate-dipped strawberry champagne appetizers, and more. This special dinner is offered February 12th, 13th, and 14th and includes music and dancing to Linda Bott on the 13th and Mark McAbee on February the 14th, Valentine's Day. Also ask about the sweetheart package at the hotel that includes champagne, $50 food vouchers, and more surprises. Call Wind River Resort for reservations, 243-3377. Wind River Resort and Casino.
All right, welcome back. We are talking today with Jamie Hanna about behavioral change, and we are going to finish up this show talking a little bit more about the details of and just summarizing, I think, what we've been talking about all morning. So, Jamie, when we talk about, you know, getting behavioral change and understanding and educating people, how do our own thoughts, you know, keep or sabotage our efforts to change?
Oh, it's the be-all, end-all to your success. And it you can derail your good intentions in 5 seconds flat. And I talked about your conscious mind and your subconscious mind earlier. And so consciously, you'll say, okay, I want to lose that weight. But your subconscious triggers, your habits just take over. And I'll use driving as an example. It takes us a long time to learn to drive, and then we've got it down, and pretty soon we drive from point A to point B. We hold a conversation with someone, and we really don't remember the drive, right? You don't remember the drive. And so this is what happens when you are triggered by a stressful moment. You automatically default to your subconscious or unconscious thought.
Right.
You go to that safe zone so that you don't have to deal with the stressor. And so, unfortunately, the thoughts that you have about that are going to ultimately decide your success. So you've got to kind of stop yourself in that moment and think positive thoughts and elicit change talk, elicit positive affirmations, positive statements. And it sounds so simple, but it really is hard to do if you have been, not in the habit of doing so.
I keep coming back, though, to the power of education. And again, we live in an age where you can just flip on your computer and learn a lot about your particular bad habit, if you will. Mm-hmm. So by doing that, I would imagine you're recommending, certainly as part of these five stages of change, to really understand what those bad habits are for you, kind of what's your why, again, mm-hmm. as we keep coming back to, mm-hmm. and getting to the point where you don't sabotage yourself as much. I mean, none of us are perfect, but you don't sabotage yourself as much. And we keep hearing about how even minor changes in your lifestyle make a significant difference in your overall quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
To talk about people just losing as little as 10 pounds and what that does for you with very specific medical conditions, how that improves that, those kind of things. So, again, we kind of come full circle to this. And I wanted to talk more about the power of education as it relates to the five stages of changes. And as it relates to maybe specifically exercise and nutrition, you know, are there places that you recommend that we go to learn more about this?
That's a great question. I'm a really strong believer in that we all learn differently. We are all so individual. Some of us are introverts, some are extroverts. We learn differently. We get it. Our aha moments come from different places. So my first answer to that question is, go to what makes you most comfortable, to that learning center that makes you most comfortable. And, you know, yes, you can Google anything, but is it true? So really check and research the viability of,
yeah, good point,
of the source. And another thing, you know, when you bring up, you know, trying to make the changes and don't sabotage yourself, our history, our childhood, our history with, you know, whatever's happened to us in our life has brought us forward to today. And a lot of people do not believe in themselves and do not know that they have the power to change. They do not know they have the power of choice. They think they're really stuck. And in their brain, they are stuck. They don't know how to get out of that. But really, every one of us has the power to change. Again, the question is how, you know, but you've got to go to a trusted source to start to kind of, you know, flesh out and weed out and decide what is going to work for you. It's so individual.
I couldn't agree more. And a real quick aside, we have at Wellgate one of our more senior members. She's literally in her 90s. And she shared with me, very excited, very emotional, she shared with me that she had, because of the prodding of the other ladies in her aqua aerobics class, she decided to come an extra day a week, just one extra day a week. And nice. As a result of that, she went to her doctor for her annual, and her doctor was amazed at how improved she was to the degree that the doctor took her off her diabetes medication.
Oh, that is wonderful.
And she was just like, and this is a woman that's in her 90s.
It's never too late.
It's never too late, but I also think it shows the power of the social support.
Very good.
You know,
great point.
It could have come from me, but she was really looking for that support from the ladies in her class. And I mean, there are dozens of stories that I could share with you in that regard, and it's one of the many benefits that I derive from being in this business, as I'm sure you do as well. But it comes back to, like you said, we all learn differently, but that common thread is, you know, is learn. It is ask the question. Don't assume that you have to fall back into these quick solution ruts that, you know, big food and big business have kind of led us down that path to instant success. There is no quick fix.
Yeah. Right? I agree. You know, and I love that you brought that up, because yes, the support is crucial to people's success. And I always tell people, because if they don't believe in themselves, they have to know that I believe in them. And I will always say to people, failure is not an option. And then I also say, don't tell me it can't be done. Tell me how we're going to do it. And again, it comes with that intrinsic and extrinsic, you know, those decisions. It's, are you doing it because someone else wants you to, or because you want to? Well, who cares? Start to do it until you can get that intrinsic reason for doing it. And then that's going to make the lasting change.
Right.
There's your success right there.
Right.
And the power of your thoughts. Wayne Dyer, the late Wayne Dyer, said, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Yeah, so just that would be my, when you say education, okay, let's do the research, but then try to, you know, implement that thought and watch how things change. Change yourself and see how things change around you.
Well, and to that point too, is find those people, those groups, that club or company that supports you.
Yes.
It doesn't, you know, if it's not family, if you don't have family, or if you don't have that support, there are a lot, in Reading here, there are a lot of places you can go to find that support. And certainly we at Wellgate count ourselves as one of those groups, that a big part of our approach to a complete wellness, you know, a comprehensive wellness approach is education and socialization. It's not just about, you know, exercise and diet. It's about that whole approach. And I know that that's what you've been preaching all along.
Absolutely. I tell people, stay positive. Without a heart and mind change, you will stay stuck. And I'm a huge advocate for hanging out with positive, amazing people. And I love it when I've heard pastors say this before. Don't go where you're tolerated. Go where you're celebrated. So don't hang out where people make you feel bad.
Right.
It's not good for your soul.
You have touched on an awful lot of things here this morning. I really wanted to just summarize that, you know, when you talk about illicit change talk, that you really have spoken about four different areas here, you know, identifying the reasons to change, you know, kind of what is your why? So you got to figure that out first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fair?
Yeah.
The intrinsic and extrinsic, I can't say that word. I'll let you do that.
Okay.
And it's setting realistic goals. Again, you don't have to chunk down the elephant in one bite, right?
No.
You can just look at setting realistic goals and then building that foundation. Maybe you can just really quickly summarize those for our listeners.
Absolutely. Inch by inch, everything's a cinch. Life by the yard is hard.
Nice.
Small steps. Take one small step at a time. Don't try to change everything at once because it's just too hard. And, you know, show up in life. Love your life. Have a great time. Have fun. And change and elicit that talk to positive self-talk. And instead of saying, and I've heard this so many times from my clients, I'm such a cow, don't say that about yourself. Mm-hmm. Do not say that about yourself. And when that ice cream is there, I would just challenge you to say, I can have it, but I don't want it. Just say that first. Even if you end up eating it, say that first. I can have it, but I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
And that will really, really help you to make some changes. And when someone else wants you to do something, it's almost like you're going to defy them. So you've got to want it really bad.
Right.
But if it's a good idea and it's in your health, you know, to the benefit of your health, then go ahead and start it and believe it later if you have to. But just start. That is the key. Just start.
And you don't have to do it all at once.
No.
I mean, consistency is much more important than, you know, this huge push.
Mm-hmm.
And we see this right now, this time of year, with New Year's resolutions, right? That people are coming in and out of the club sorer than they ever have been in their life. And it's because they feel like I have to make up for 20 years of bad habits in 2 weeks, and you just can't do it. So consistency, and that will sabotage you more than anything, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
So consistency, small steps, like you said, inch by inch,
mm-hmm,
right, is
mm-hmm.
better than yard by yard.
Mm-hmm.
So
small changes for radical results.
You've got here 2,500 choices per day. Have fun. Never underestimate the power of music. How does that all tie in?
Well, we make on average 2,500 choices a day. So we need to try to make those really good choices and conscious choices instead of unconscious choices. And we need to try to have as much fun as we can because it releases endorphins and it counteracts stress. And have fun. Try to do one fun thing and try to find activities that you enjoy. If exercise is like a dirty word for you, then call it physical activity and find something that you like to do and enjoy yourself. And, you know, I'll just leave you with, you know, we only have one life. And so try this new mantra, try to say, or say, I am going to make the rest of my life the best of my life. And just keep saying that over and over and really invest in yourself and embrace the uniqueness of who you are. And we're all different. We all learn differently. And what works for your friend may not work for you. Try different steps for yourself. And I'll leave you with a quote by Shiloh Sophia McLeod. She says, "May you take one step, however small, towards that which you have always longed for. Now is the right time."
Wow. Jamie, as always, I learn a tremendous amount from you. Thank you for sharing today.
Thank
you. If some people want to get a hold of you and learn more about what you do, how do they do that?
Oh, you bet. They can reach me at my cell phone at 530-515-1153.
All right. Jamie, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. It's good to see you again, as
thank
always.
You.
Come and visit us at Wellgate Sports Club, 1740 Eureka Way. We'd love to have you come by and see the club. Otherwise, have a wonderful Saturday, a great weekend, and we will be talking to you soon, probably in another couple of weeks. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. Taiwan's interior minister says there will be an investigation into the collapse of a residential building during last night's earthquake that left 14 people dead. Reporter Ian Madding, reporting from nearby Beijing, says there's still a frantic search going on.
There's about 1,200 firefighters and soldiers in Tainan City, in and around the area of the collapsed building, with cranes and other equipment, are pulling survivors from the rubble.
As the 17th-floor building folded something like an accordion after the quake, an investigation is promised because it may reflect some faulty construction. Meanwhile, the U.S. Coast Guard is suspending the search for three people missing after two small planes collided on Friday. It happened over the ocean just outside the port of Los Angeles, leaving no sign of survivors despite an already massive search. Police in Austria say at least five skiers are dead, 12 skiers from the Czech Republic caught up in an alpine avalanche. Police say some of the skiers no doubt lost their lives. The search